Welcome to week 2, 2022, Stat 196A, Education 401D. David Ragosa here as usual. The audio is in four parts this week to encourage you to take breaks. The PDF file is 77 pages. And enjoy. We're continuing our tour through various introductory examples using LME4, mainly LMER, in these first 2 weeks. That's linear Gaussian models. Last week we introduced you to an example with a set of models, our models page, which is page 2 of this lecture 2 PDF. And for continuity, we're going to come back to that gender gap example in order to illustrate a few extra details of the basics of using LMER and then some extensions using the MER tools package, which has some very nice vignettes that are linked, of course, in our week 2 corpus. So recap our introductory example for some continuity, the exam data with gender gaps, then our next set of examples are the two canonical multi-level examples. First, growth curves in Bates' sleep study example, which is his introductory example, and then the canonical example for nested data, high school and beyond, kids within schools, public and Catholic schools, government schools, and parochial schools. Observational data, so we can't draw any conclusions about effectiveness, but the analysis is universal, and so it's worth going through. And then the third main grouping for this lecture is data from designed experiments, and those are examples from Bates's book, Chapters 1 and 2, Random Effects, Fixed Effects Models, redoing what you probably learned as ANOVA and showing you how LMER can give you improved estimation and inference. So that's pretty much where we are for week 2. More of the same if you followed along week 1 successfully, and I hope you did. Everything, of course, is linked, and one way of doing this is to download this audio, the MP3, put that on your local machine, download the PDF slides, and then use your browser to show you the actual full set of examples. The lecture, as usual, has condensed versions of the examples and a walkthrough thereof. Okay, let's get started. Page 2 of this PDF repeats the models page of this week 1 data, and I'll remind you that our conditional model, GGAP-LMER2, was the model we used to ask an actual question. Given we have a gender gap within each of the 30-odd schools, that collection of schools, is there anything else we can say about the gender gap in terms of an association or a correlation, not in terms of necessarily a causal inference? And the question we asked, whether ninth grade input, which indicated historically high scoring or low scoring schools, had any association with the gender gap. That is, did typically high scoring advantage schools, at least in the UK, manage to reduce the gender gap compared to historically low scoring schools, indicated by the ninth grade input? And the smart first year student definitely answered there's nothing going on. And we used the LMER as an example to confirm that and to show you how to use an actual level 2 model with some content in it to ask questions to fit the model. And the exercise of just forming the combined model is a useful one to pick up. It scales up to more complicated models. And this is how to formulate the models so you understand what you're asking about. The parameter gamma 1,1 was the key in the association between gender gap and ninth grade input. And we saw there was nothing going on And that's what the first smart first-year student found, but good for us. And we learned how to get confidence intervals and inferences consequently, or even p-values from AFEX if you insist on that. Page 3 starts us out with some new extras just to complete our analysis. So if we read in mixed, which is the beginning of page 3, the exam data add-ons page, we get the mixed data set, which is our 30-odd schools, 26 observations, 6 variables. And if we then look at it in LME 4, we fit it, we see our usual, just to remind us, our necessary is singular fix, which is just a telling R to relax a little bit. These are models that have run for years and years just fine, and now they need an extra control character to give you the same result. You can see that, and we get the confidence intervals, or and we could get, by old names equals false, we could get better labels for those confidence intervals. The sex colon school average is the gamma 1-1 estimate, and you can see that's centered around 0. There's nothing going on. So that's a quick recap of some of the things we did in week 1. To go on, just to show you a few things about details in R, which introductory students probably don't want to pay a lot of attention to, but our users may want to just see how LME4 keeps track of things. So all, whenever you run LM or LMER or anything else that's a function in R, one of the built-in functions, you create an object. In this case, the class of the object is MIRMOD, Mixed Effects Models. And from that object, you can extract all sorts of information. The most common is summary, which is listed here. If we look under the methods for class MIRMOD, summary gives you the usual table of results. We also saw that we could compare models by ANOVA. We could pull off coefficients from LMList or others. We could get confidence intervals using CONFINT. We could get fixed effects and random effects by fixed effects and RANF. You can also get things like residuals. We use those for plotting. Predict is a new function, and we're going to look at that internal to LME4 and also by the MER tools add-on package, which is one of the ones we're going to look at today. There's, of course, an infinite number of packages in ours. It is exponential growth. If you look year to year, it's a good log example. We'll pick out a few that have very good vignettes so you can understand what they're doing, and do walkthroughs of useful examples in MER tools, MERTOOLS, which is linked, is one of those. We'll look at prediction their way, and also compare it with predict from LMER. So that's one of the things. And obs gives you the number of observations, for example. It's as simple as querying the object, tell me for GGAP LMER2, which is the object we created by fitting the model, and obs, and standard error coefficients you could get. GetMe is a general function that's useful. It's kind of like SAS-ODS. You can get additional pieces from the MIRMOD object, and so you can see you can fill out a whole bunch of things. Useful if you were writing bootstrap routines or things like that, and you just want to fill out one of the one particular piece of the output. You can get details on the convergence and all sorts of things from GetMe. That's getting pretty far in, but I wanted to show you at least it's useful. Now, the next step is to try out MIR tools. And MIR tools does a number of general things. Some replicating things we've seen, and that's in the introduction to mirror tools, various other fixed effects displays, and confidence intervals, sampling from posterior distributions. It's quicker than bootstrapping, but it's mainly just alternatives to doing the things we do. So it's good to see lots and lots of versions of what we might want to do in life, or an LME for life, which is one corner of your life. Okay, so on page 4 of the PDF, try out mirror tools, and basically I just tried out, the vignette is very, very nice, and it goes through its way of doing things. They do some lecture evaluations, course evaluations from ETH Zurich, and play with that, InstiVal. You can take a look at that data set if you want. It's different kind of design than one we've looked at. So I tried out some mirror tools objects just to show you some of the capabilities. Nothing that needs to replace what we've done, but you might want to see that people have different ways of wanting to look at things. So I'll try out the mirror tools vignette. Prediction adds on some value. And so package mirror tools on page 5. I just grabbed the first page of the manual. It's undoubtedly updated since then, but it's same thing. Always, manuals are always useful, and vignettes are even more useful. So one thing to note is I ran it first. AFEX, which you may have used to get p-values, runs its own version of LMER to get the p-values. That will give you a different class of object than standard LMER, and so you need to go back and rerun GGAP LMER2 and pure LME4 if you want to use the added capabilities of mirror tools. AFEX does a different set of, it creates a different kind of object which you can't use, so you need to go back and run the regular. If you didn't run AFEX, that's fine. So install the package mirror tool. We're on page 6 of the PDF. Warning, you'll get a lot of auxiliary packages installed if you want a very small CleanR installation. You don't want to do this on your main machine. Try out some functions from mirror tools. So they have a fast display. You can query the GGAP LMER2 object, which we did, and a fast display will give you a different kind of plot. It gives you a quick table, highly rounded, and will give you the basics. And you can see that's a different table. It's a simplified table from what summary of the GGAP LMER2 object gives you. You might like it better. It's turned down. FE-SIM is their way of displaying standard errors of the fixed effects. And so I created simple claims to resample from the posterior to instantaneous, whereas bootstrapping, you know, took a little bit of time. Still gives you a standard confidence interval. And here, it'll give you, for example, our fixed effect, SexM colon school average, that's gamma 1:1 in our setup for the modeling. Mean, median are basically about zero. Standard error is big, about the same as what confident or the summary LMER. You can plot the fixed effects, plot FE-SIM, and I did that for you. You get a sex male, sex school average, the three main effects. The main one we cared about was sex M colon school average. And you see, you get a plot of a confidence interval. Maybe that adds value to you. I'm just showing you the various capabilities. And it is quick. That's to its advantage. The main reason to take a look at mirror tools, besides the fact that it has lovely vignettes linked, is the prediction intervals. So that's the second vignette I showed you, and that's does a little more than the standard predict function in LME4. So the first thing we want to do is take a look at what LME4 does. And it's just like prediction from an LM object. That is linear regression. You might want to predict for a new observation, get a fit, and an interval estimate. So for example, for the first person, so new data is exactly the same kind of format as predict from linear or logistic regression, GLM. You may have learned in an elementary class. You have to tell it what person's data you want to predict from. Just a straight predict will give you for every person. You don't want 2,000 of those, so be careful. But if we do in the second line, predict GLM-R2, and then describe, give the data points for the main person, you get a point estimate for the fit. You could also get that from fitted. Mirror tools give you a prediction interval that seems to be pretty good. So if you do a predict interval, and now I'm on page 8 of the PDF, try the mirror tools function, and you can see the vignette gives you a version of this. And I think they use, they use the sleep study data, which is Bates's main growth curve example, and what we're going to use in the next segment. So if you want to get familiar with sleep study, the mirror tools prediction vignette will show you a little bit of that, and you'll see we do the same sorts of things. So this is a nice overlap, and so the prediction interval is going to do sleep study. We did it for the exam data here just to make it for the kind of continuity to week two. But so our main, one of our main week two examples is sleep study, the sleep deprivation of truckers, which is also used in prediction intervals from MIRMOD. And you can see here, if I take the first person, now I get a fit, and I get an upper and lower bound sampling from the posterior. And predict for this first person, if I just use LME, is a little bit different. That's because predict intervals taking median posterior, I believe they explained. So you can see 684, 657 within a rather wide confidence interval is not a big difference. So you can get prediction intervals just like you used to from linear models. You just have to always, just like with LM or GLM, you have to tell it for what data point or for what person or for what hypothetical person you have to give them the values of the predictors. So why don't we stop there with part A before we go on to our standard examples, growth curve, and high school and beyond, the nested data. Thank you.